You are listening to episode 1 of Cinemarvelous. This episode, sunglasses and Spider-Verse. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cinemarvelous. I'm your host, Joe Cuevas, and joining me for the first time is Shannon. How are you doing, Shannon?
Hi.
And also Naim, who's always here. You might know him better on these here internets as Kuhan.
www.naimkuhan.com.
Where you can find this show and others. Oh, that was an early plug. This is the very first episode of Cinemarvelous. It's a media podcast, so we're going to talk about all things Marvel media. We're going to touch on the comics, but we're going to focus more on movies and television, and we've got a lot of that coming through the pipeline, especially in this year, 2015. It's January, so Agent Carter starts this month. In fact, it starts
tomorrow.
Tomorrow, as of this recording, yes. Let's start off by introducing ourselves, our interests, favorite Marvel film or TV show, maybe your favorite Marvel character and or comic if you are feeling especially ambitious, and we're going to start with Kuhan. That's you.
Oh, God. A.K.A. Kuhan.
A.K.A. Jessica Jones?
My favorite Marvel film. Oh, that's a tough one. There's a lot of good ones. I'm probably going to go with Iron Man 3 as my favorite Marvel film. Yeah. That's fair. That's fair to say. I liked Iron Man 3 a lot. I liked Kiss Kiss Bang Bang a lot, which was the previous collaboration between Robert Downey Jr. and that director, Shane Black. So I was actually really excited for Iron Man 3. I think I was pretty happy with it. And now that I'm talking about it, although I did find it weird that it was released in May and about Christmas. That was odd.
Of the next year.
What?
It was like Christmas later that year.
Yeah. Yeah. It was odd.
So it took place after like the first half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I mean, I guess it was originally planned to be released around the holidays, and then they're like, let's just put it out in May. As opposed to, what, was Cap in this winter? No, Cap was in August.
Yeah.
Didn't something come out in November? Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy came out in August. Mm-hmm. What came out in... When did Cap come out?
Wait. No, Thor?
I'm talking
Thor
about
was
it,
in November,
I'm,
and this, then Cap
this,
was
this
in
is,
May, wasn't
this
it?
This is 2013, isn't it? Yes.
Oh.
Thor came out in the winter.
Thor came out
2 years
in
ago,
November,
like I'm supposed to remember.
Yeah, Thor came out in late 2013, so I think they were going to... But also... Thor tied in directly to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
because
that's why
they were
they
doing cleanup.
Had weird pacing.
They were it was just like, hey, we're doing
they were
cleanup,
doing cleanup
on...
for Asgard stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that's
yeah.
And like anyway. They had Asgardians show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like,
right, but that was
them.
That was later.
They paced S.H.I.E.L.D. to time to the Thor release, which
because the Asgardians showing up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had nothing to really do with the Thor release. And it was just the one episode of, hey, we're doing cleanup, which came out a week after the Thor release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it wasn't really... They timed S.H.I.E.L.D. to coincide with the Cap release.
Yes.
And that made a difference, which came out in April. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. May? April, May.
April, I want to say.
That time frame.
The previous one came out in... July. Whatever. Besides the point.
Previous one was summer.
Yeah.
But that led to interesting storytelling with... With Iron Man 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3. As for my favorite Marvel character, I will say Hawkeye. I've said Hawkeye for years. He's actually, until recently, had been the only Marvel character in my top 5 superheroes. But not my top 5 comic books, which are separate. But and then I think Spider-Man creeps up to number 5. But Hawkeye would be my favorite Marvel character. And was there a third thing?
Wait, which Hawkeye?
Yeah, that's important.
Oh, right. Clint Barton.
Okay. And comic, if you're feeling ambitious.
Favorite Marvel comic?
Yes.
Wait, like now or out now?
Either or. Do what you want. This is about you.
Thanks, Joe.
Ultimate Spider. I like Miles Morales. I mean... if we're going to talk about what comics are running currently that we like, I'm going to let you say Hawkeye and say I like Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man.
I was going to say Secret Avengers.
That's true. Secret Avengers starring Hawkeye.
Starring Hawkeye. but also Spider-Woman and the Black Widow.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know if I have an all-time favorite Marvel comic. I have an all-time favorite DC comic, but I don't know what my all-time favorite Marvel comic is.
All right. Shannon, you want to go introduce yourself?
Sure. I mean, I guess. I like Captain America a lot, so much. It's embarrassing.
If this was a video podcast, I'd have you canned over.
And my favorite Marvel movie is Winter Soldier.
Right.
Makes total sense. Yeah. And my favorite comic... I'd say my favorite ever comic was Man Out of Time. Because Mark Waid did a really freaking good job with Cap.
Mark Waid's a great storyteller.
Yeah, I know. And out currently, I mean, I like what they're doing with Deadpool right now. I think that's a cool storyline that's been going on for a while.
Gary Duggan writes a really good Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Which cannot necessarily be said for a lot of Deadpool writers.
Yeah.
Well, partially because Deadpool and Cable Deadpool were sort of the comic that when you start a Marvel Comics, they're like, hey, have Deadpool or have Captain America. And they just sort of handed that to whoever when they were new. And that's how people got their feet wet for the most part. They either started with Cable Deadpool or started with Cap.
Sure.
Yeah, which didn't end well for a lot of storylines.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, I think it was Cap in the 90s more so, and then Cable Deadpool in the 2000s. I don't know who it is now.
Yeah, 90s Cap was a hot mess.
I guess now it's Death of Wolverine.
Fucking Charles.
Well, there are also like 5 Death of Wolverine books right now.
Yeah.
Like, Wolverines is starting on the 7th, so that's 2 days from when we're recording. Along with a bunch of other stuff that is still
running. But this is comic books, guys.
Yeah.
We're not a comics podcast.
So hi, I'm Joe. Our interests, I picked up archery, like, last year, and I'm really good at it.
Oh, are we supposed to do that too?
If you want to say what you're interested in right now, go ahead.
Long walks on the beach.
Inappropriate times.
Pina colada, getting caught in the rain. I muted my microphone.
Naim likes podcasting.
I do like podcasting. I do many podcasts.
I'm pretty sure Captain America counts as an interest and a favorite character.
I mean, I collect,
like, specifically for you.
Interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not my only interest, Captain America and Captain America paraphernalia.
She says that she looks around her room trying to look for something else and sees just a shelf of Captain America stuff.
Look in my closet, Cap. Look under my desk, on my desk. Usually on my body, but not today. That's weird, but...
Like also books. There's books.
I like books. I mean...
Storytelling. Storytelling's an interest of yours.
I write. I do that. I like to write. That's the thing. That's my dream career, and I forgot that's a thing I do.
It's okay. It's okay. So I picked up archery as a direct result of Hawkeye. And I actually have a bow based on his film bow coming in a couple of days. So...
Joe likes to write. Joe wrote. Did he actually end up actually writing anything of that proposed Hawkeye internet series pilot that we were writing?
I wrote like a scene.
A scene. Okay.
I wrote like
and
a scene.
Character breakdowns. So coming to you
coming
in 2017. Oh, it was a year off.
Favorite Marvel film or TV show? I'm really excited for Iron Fist, but that's not out yet. So I guess I am going to say The Amazing Spider-Man. I really like that film. It wasn't. It's
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, the Andrew Garfield one.
Okay.
I mean, it was bouncy. It was engaging. It felt like a U2 soundtrack. Wait, no, that's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Joe, are you talking U2 to me right now?
Hi, I'm Scott.
Scott.
And this is you talking U2. No, it's not. I liked Spider-Man a lot, but I think I am going to have to go with... Because, like, this is hard. Because there are a lot of ones where I like specific parts of the films, but I don't necessarily like the film holistically as much as I did everything else. So I'm just going to cop out and say X-Men First Class. Yeah. At this very moment, specifically.
It was a good film. Featured a lot of ocean.
Yeah.
Favorite... Surprises me because prior to X-Men First Class, oh no, prior to Days of Future Past, you hadn't seen an X-Men film.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Favorite Marvel character? Oh man. Who's Matt Fraction on right now? Kidding.
Who's Kelly Sue on right now?
Yeah, I really like Captain Marvel as a mantle, and I also really like Iron Fist. Probably going to go with Carol Danvers on that one. Favorite ongoing comic? Secret Avengers, and favorite comic? I'm probably going to go with Immortal Iron Fist on this one, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like Immortal Iron Fist.
It's a good comic.
Yeah. But enough about us. You're here to listen to us talk about Marvel media, and there's a lot of media coming out this year. In May of this year, we've got Daredevil, starring Charlie Cox as Matthew Murdock, and a bunch of other people as a bunch of other people.
Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin.
Yeah.
Rosario Dawson as Night Nurse. Other people. This is off the top of my head, so I did not have a list in front of me that I probably should have.
So, in addition to those people, we've got Deborah Ann Woll as Karen Page. We've got Eldon Henson as Foggy Nelson. Eilidh Zurer as Vanessa Mariana. Rosario Dawson as Claire Temple, the Night Nurse. Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilton Fisk, the Kingpin. Vondi Curtis Hall as Ben Urich, a recurring character. Scott Glenn as Stick, a mysterious martial artist and Murdoch's mentor.
Stick?
Stick. As Stick. Bob Gunton as Leland Owlsley. Toby Leonard Moore as Wesley, who is Fisk's right-hand man. And Peter Shinkoda as Hachiro.
And Eden Shinner as Dakota North? Question mark?
I really, really hope Eden Shure is in this. Otherwise, I'm just going to be confused for the next 3 years.
Very confused. We should probably explain, because...
It's kind of an inside joke, but it's also kind of a thing that's relevant here.
Right, well, no, so Eden Shure, I believe, last year? Was seen walking out of Marvel Studios with, like, a stack full of comics?
Yeah, so Eden Shure went to Marvel's New York office, I think it was.
Yes,
like, 7 months ago. And she was like, yeah, it was supposed to be like a half-hour meeting, and it turned into 2 hours or something? 15-minute meeting, and it turned into 3 hours and 80 pounds of comics.
Yeah. And then it was just Eden Shure reading a ton of Marvel comics, which, like, and then, like, I believe, what was it, ABC or Marvel tweeted that it was, like, about her role in the middle. It's like, okay, that's weird. Why would she be there for 2 hours talking about, hey, guys, I'm in the middle?
Wait, you guys mean that you can't just, like, walk into Marvel's offices and then walk out with comics? Like, always? You just can't go in there and then just take something and leave?
I think you might have to be a famous person working for Disney. But
Cal Penn walked into the Marvel office and walked out with comics, too.
I'm sure Cal Penn has an inside man, or woman, as it were.
Phenomenon. My school friend of Cal Penn's.
Yes. Hi guys, I'm Kyle Penn. I'm going to take some comics now. All right, bye.
But I mean, if I just like went into Marvel's offices and took things and left, that would be okay, right?
You can't just walk into Marvel's offices and take Chris Evans.
I wouldn't take him. I would just take things. People aren't things.
Take a standee.
You'd take the shield, wouldn't you?
Assorted things.
It was just strange that there'd be a 2-hour meeting with Eden Shure that did not have anything to do, like, and she'd walk out with pounds worth of comics that had nothing to do with a possible future role in a possible Marvel production. So we're figuring Dakota North,
which would be cool. It'd be really cool, guys.
I'm into it.
There have also been a couple of set photos coming out from the production of Daredevil. You see Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock with sunglasses and his blindness cane. The cane's the Billy Club. The cane's the Billy Club, right?
Yes.
That's how it works? Okay.
Maybe?
I believe so, yes.
And there are also a couple of him dressed as a ninja, which I think is the early Daredevil costume. So yeah.
Probably.
May 1st, Daredevil on Netflix.
Not yellow enough.
Not yellow enough?
I think I'm the person here who's read the most of Daredevil. Probably.
Probably, yeah.
I
mean, I read all of Wade Daredevil, but that's recent stuff.
So. Yeah, yeah. I had just read all of, well, not all of Bendis, because I couldn't read all of Bendis Daredevil, because a lot of it is Bendis and not Michael Lark, but the other guy whose name I'm forgetting right now. But it's not that his art is bad, it's just painted, and it's not just painted, it's like very stylized painted, and I just couldn't do it. Like, that's not my jam. I read some of the Bendis run and then all of the Brubaker run of Daredevil, and right before this announcement happened is when I had read it. So I was very excited for Daredevil at the time, and still pretty excited for Daredevil. Hope I'm excited to see what it brings. But I don't know. Is it gonna do like an origin story thing, or?
Well, I mean, he's dressed like a ninja, so probably.
Could be flashbacks.
Lawyer by day, Matt Murdock uses his heightened senses from being blinded as a young boy to fight crime at night on the streets of New York City's Hell's Kitchen neighborhood as Daredevil. That tells me nothing.
So.
That tells me this is a Daredevil story.
If we get to see his origin story, does that also mean we get to see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, because it's radioactive waste, right?
Yeah.
That would be
which
neat.
Came first, but one of them is based off of the other.
Daredevil came first. The Ninja Turtles came in like the '80s. Right. Yeah. No, it's kind of cool actually. I think I talked to Kevin Eastman about this. But,
it was probably Kevin Eastman. Shell Shocked is a thing.
Yeah, it was definitely Eastman. I forgot whether it was Eastman or later at the time. But it's definitely like specifically, hey, we are way into Daredevil. What if the radioactive ooze also created our superheroes? So it would be really neat if there's just like...
And the same ooze, too. Like, it hit him in the face and fell in the sewer.
Yeah, so it'd be really cool.
And then there were just these baby turtles there. And then
yeah, it would be cool if there's just four turtles, like in the background of that shot when they show that happening. Just like, not like actually anything, but like they're just walking in the background. And then
just turtles?
Yes. And then that leads directly into the Ninja Turtles movie by Michael Bay.
Which is now MCU canon, question mark? I guess?
So my question's always been, does this mean that Ninja Turtles happens in the same universe as Daredevil? Does that mean, like, there's also other superheroes?
I think originally it was just a cool little thing, and now it's like, alright.
It would be cool if, but no.
Like, what if?
Ninja Turtles confirmed for Avengers 3.
Until Marvel buys the Ninja Turtles license.
Which they could.
They could. I think they had it at some point, but I think it was a different
universe. I'm pretty sure they had it.
I think they might have.
I don't think they do right now.
I don't know. We can get...
Isn't there an IDW run right now, or...
Sure.
Anyway. Also coming to Netflix in 2015 is Marvel's AKA Jessica Jones. Following a tragic end to her brief superhero career, Jessica Jones tries to rebuild her life as a private eye, dealing with cases involving people with remarkable abilities in New York City. It's being developed by Melissa Rosenberg, who also wrote a pilot for Jessica Jones back when it was an ABC pitch. It stars Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones, and Mike Coulter will appear as Luke Cage in the latter half of the series. Based on... Jessica Jones, based on Alias and The Pulse by Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Gatiss. And yeah.
Also starring Eden Shearer as Dakota North, question mark?
Question mark. we know significantly less about this. It hasn't even started filming yet, I don't think.
Well, yeah, because this is not, we don't have set photos. This isn't airing in 4 months. Yeah, little different.
Well, the Luke Cage thing, that casting's pretty recent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a couple weeks ago. Even Christian Ritter was like last month.
It was like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even the name was like a month ago. Before that, it was just called Jessica Jones.
I personally, not having read like a whole ton of Jessica Jones, outside of New Avengers, just like, and having seen some of Kristen Ritter's previous work, it just doesn't like jive with me. I've only seen like her in Veronica Mars, in Breaking Bad, and in Don't Trust the Bee, and like it's very possible that she's got a different side to her that I just haven't seen yet. And obviously she was cast by professional casting directors. I'm sure there's something, but I don't know how this is written. And also, again, I didn't read Alias, so I don't know.
In Alias, Jessica Jones is a lot more cynical and a lot more jaded than she is in New Avengers and a lot of the later Bendis works.
Yeah.
And it's a lot about her learning to trust her, her colleagues again.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, I think this one's going to be kind of a dark series because after a tragic end, pretty sure somebody's going to die.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah. It's bound to be interesting. It's really bound to be interesting. I hope Carol Danvers shows up.
Eden sure is Carol Danvers, question mark? Who was he?
Too short.
Sure, Joe. I have
too
to
short.
Know.
It's too short. Melissa Rosenberg. No, it's because when Melissa Rosenberg was first drafting this, she says, I needed three people for this: Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Carol Danvers. And Carol Danvers is a supporting character throughout Alias. So I see it.
It could happen.
And she's, yeah.
That's
we
how
have,
they revealed the casting.
We have a Captain Marvel movie coming up in 2018.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a thing.
Yeah, you know, Gwendolyn Christie's just going to show up. Yeah. In AKA Jessica Jones, and everybody's gonna be like, yes, this is perfect, this is awesome, I support it.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're gonna get random Spider-Man actor in flashbacks and then just be like, oh yes, we went to high school together, Peter Parker.
Oh man.
But like, by the way, the person who they have in flashbacks is not gonna be the person who ends up playing possible Spider-Man in the possible MCU, which we'll talk about later.
Sure.
But
man, like, if they refilm flashbacks on the same sort of equipment that they used in Spider-Man on reconstructed sets.
It'll be like in that episode of Community where they just digitally inserted Jack Black into previous episodes.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was a season one episode, which is strange. But yeah, that would be perfect. Like, and just poorly do it. Do it really badly. They wouldn't do it that way, but it'd be hilarious to me.
Another person I hope who's in AKA Jessica Jones is Jessica Drew, because she shows up in the last.
But she is. They just
changed
her name to Jessica Jones.
That's the AKA.
Brian Michael Bendis.
That's the alias.
Yes, Jessica Drew.
But speaking of Jessica Drew, she just got a redesign in comics designed by Chris Anka. It's her first new costume since 1977. It debuts in March in Spider-Woman number 5, penciled by Javier Rodriguez and written by Dennis Hopeless. You might be wondering why I'm bringing this up, because this is decidedly not necessarily a comics podcast. Naim thought and I agreed that this had potential Marvel Cinematic Universe implications. Yeah, it looks a lot more streetwise. It looks a lot more like something that I would be that I would expect to see on a big screen, or even a television screen, rather than
something you could put a woman in and shoot a camera on her. That isn't something that's skin tight bodysuit that you'd have to cut parts out and paint her body pretty much to actually get those curves right. It looks like something
where you wouldn't see your nips.
Right. Yeah. It looks like something that you could actually, you know, put
in a PG-13 movie.
Yeah. Right. Or a cartoon.
They redesigned Hawkeye's costume for the movie.
Yeah.
And that had comic implications, so.
Yeah. I totally see this going the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, and it also pushes the later topic of the whole spider thing in MCU. But it could just be a redesign. It could just be the fact that, you know, Spider-Woman has been getting more and more stuff in, like, she's been getting more visibility in the Marvel Universe.
She's in a lot of my favorite books. She's in Secret Avengers. She's in Captain Marvel.
Right.
She's in Spider Woman.
But
which
like,
is
I can go out and buy like a Captain America T-shirt that just has like a shield on it. But if I wanted to go and buy a Spider Woman shirt, it would
just have her face on it,
like her face,
else.
Or
yellow triangle.
The weird, like, yeah, the, yeah. So like, that's the other thing is they were trying to develop like, hey, this is a Spider Woman logo. And,
I have this T-shirt with Spider Woman on it, and it has her on it. But
yeah, that's the thing. It's a little different. And then the other thing that that Joe said was cosplay implications. But that's
important.
Yeah.
That's
really is. It really is. And I want to wear this. I have the glasses for it.
Mm-hmm. You should do it.
I think it looks really good. It looks like something that the character of Jessica Drew would wear on the streets of New York, just being a PI taking street cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I usually like redesigns because it's cool. It's fun. I mean, they change costumes and it's like... I mean, that's...
Well, most of the time it's a redesign that then changes back to something that looks closer to what the previous design was, if it's a radical redesign. Mm-hmm. Or it's like a minor redesign, like, oh, let's just update this for something modern.
Sure.
Like Marvel now Captain America, or like they did, like a lot of Marvel now stuff, or like they did, with the DC New 52 stuff. But with something like this, I think they are like, it's supposed to be a new, like it's like a hopefully new permanent classic design.
Right, especially because she's only had that one costume since 1977. Hopefully, this is the new iconic look for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, redesigns show how fluid comics can be and how much shit can change. And I mean, if she stayed Spider-Woman in that costume forever, it's so dated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's just
weird.
Radical redesigns usually just don't stick like that. And the only one that's really actually honestly stuck over the last what? 3 years, only 3 years has been Hawkeye. Like, what other radical redesigns have really stuck in recent memory?
Hmm.
I mean, there could be. I just don't know off the top of my head.
I mean, because I was the Storm and Psylocke redesigns, also by Chris Honka, incidentally, are recent. But I don't think that they're drastic changes from what you traditionally think of that character to look like.
There's also the fact that the X-Men are redesigned every 3 years anyway.
Didn't Iron Man get a redesign where he's all silver now or something? Superior
Iron Man? Black and yellow.
From the red and gold, went to the black and yellow for Marvel Now, and then now he's silver for Superior.
So there, I mean, again, a redesign that didn't stick.
Yeah.
And there's no chance that silver or black and yellow Iron Man sticks around. Like, it's gonna go back to red and yellow within the next couple of years.
The black and yellow started in the Marvel Revolution, that issue one, I think. Or
something
maybe
like
before.
That.
But that's when I remember seeing it first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what, 3 years?
Something like that.
Yeah. But again, it's another one that you knew from the get-go that was going to change.
Yeah.
Where like something like Marvel Now Captain America's redesign, despite him not being Captain America at the moment, is something that looked pretty much like his previous costumes, just sort of updated for a modern look and looked a little bit more like the movies. And so like that's something that is like, oh, something like that at the very least is going to stick. But like
when they want to redesign Cap, all they do is kill or incapacitate him and then just put somebody else. Just make somebody else Cap.
Didn't that just happen?
Yes.
Yeah.
But like with the Hawkeye redesign is something that seems the Hawkeye and hopefully the
Jessica
Spider-Woman redesign is the word I was looking for. It seems like something that might stick, especially because of how like dated their previous costumes were. Like Hawkeye's costume hadn't really changed since the 60s and had like feathers on it and like a weird
it was very Robin Hood-esque.
It had a bandolier.
Yeah, he had that little loincloth thing.
Yeah, the crotch thing. I don't know what it's called.
Not a skirt.
Yeah. And like his weird
and it was
mask.
Purple and blue.
Well, purple and blue is fine.
I mean, like super bright purple.
Yeah, that's exactly accurate as to what Hawkeye's costume. I feel like his current costume should have more purple on it, but that's beside the point. The comic has enough purple on the color palette, which is nice.
Yeah.
But that's I lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, my real only thing that I don't love about both the Hawkeye and the Captain. God dang it! I keep doing this. Spider-Woman redesign. It's because they're both characters that Joe loves so much. my problems with them are the masks, in that they're both just sort of sunglasses.
That actually started with Kate Bishop.
Yeah, it's true. But that started with Kate Bishop.
The Spider-Woman starts out as sunglasses, and then they transform.
And then they get bigger into a sort of mask.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, it's like...
And Jessica's never really had a full face mask either.
Uh-huh. Right. No, yeah. Well, she has. It just didn't have her hair in it.
Yeah.
It was a full face mask.
Or the rest of her face.
It had... Was it like a half mask, I guess?
It was like the half mask.
I feel like it comes... I feel like a Batman's. Where so it's
where
like a
full
face.
You see her jaw.
You see her jaw and her
hair.
You see
her hair. Like a cap-style cowl.
Yeah. Right, which is pretty much.
Terms.
I mean, it's a cowl. It's a pretty much full face, just with a hole for the hair and for the mouth.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like I don't hate it or anything. It's just like it's like this thing where sunglasses are like the new mask. They're
cool.
It's like
sunglasses are cool.
Like, and a lot of like for Hawkeye, like when he's wearing the costume in his own book, for the most part, he's not even wearing the sunglasses. Like, it's to the point where I was reading New Avengers or Avengers or one of those books, and he was wearing sunglasses. Like, that looks weird. Why does that look weird? It's like, oh, he's wearing his sunglasses. Because he doesn't even wear them in Secret Avengers that much.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's just...
He doesn't wear his costume that often,
his
own book.
Yeah, but he wears his costume in Secret Avengers, and in Secret Avengers he does not wear the sunglasses.
He also spends the first issue of Secret Avengers naked.
It's true. But, like, he only wears them in Avengers, and it's just like, oh... That's part of your costume.
That's a thing I remember.
That's strange. Well, but like for Hawkeye, it makes a little bit more sense because he does not have a secret identity, whereas Jessica Drew does not. Also, never mind. That's confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
well,
Kate also. Kate and Bobby Morse also do the sunglass mask thing, and I don't think they're secret either.
Sunglasses make sense though.
Yeah.
For archers.
Does Bobby?
Yeah, Bobby has sunglasses now.
Oh, because that changed too. I don't know. I like.
I don't know, Naim. You just have to deal with it.
I guess I do.
It's interesting because Kate's first costume had the Mockingbird mask, and then she switched over to sunglasses when she got her own costume.
That's also different because that's also like a younger character in an older character's universe for one thing, and the other thing it's New Avengers, and she was her sunglasses are also like they don't even look necessarily like sunglasses. They look more like because they're more clear and purple.
Well, like in Young Avengers Volume 2, she has like the aviators, doesn't she?
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she switches over to aviators.
Yeah, that's true.
Which are cool.
Just straight up aviators.
Yeah. But aviators also like are more clear than most sunglasses, whereas most of the time when they do sunglasses for most characters in comics, they're just sort of fill it in black. It's like, I don't want to draw eyes.
Yeah, I think for at least Clint and Kate, it makes sense because the sunglasses will keep the sun out of your eyes and keep your aim true.
Yeah.
And they don't really have secret identities either.
Right. So. Yeah, and neither does Bobby, neither does Jessica. It's just an odd choice to me. It always seems like it's like, hey, we're being modern. They don't have masks, they have sunglasses.
Yeah.
And it's like it seems like trying to be modern and then because sunglasses are in, and so like that's the first thing to make a design that you're trying to be classic no longer be classic, because who's to say sunglasses even exist in 5 years? Maybe they'll change everything.
Doesn't Superior Iron Man have sunglasses?
Sunglasses will. Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, but that's a weird book.
Wait,
that's a Daredevil book.
Doesn't Sam Wilson Captain America wear sunglasses? Hang on.
I think he has goggles.
He has goggles.
Oh, shit. I have the issue right here.
He has goggles, which makes sense because he's flying.
Nope, he has...
Those are goggles.
They're sunglasses. They're totally sunglasses.
Those are 100% goggles that are part of the costume.
They're wraparound sunglasses.
It's also under a mask.
They look like sunglasses. They have like little earpieces.
Also, nobody draws Hawkeye's sunglasses the same once they actually decide to do that.
Yeah. That's my other thing, is why is there not like a style guide where like somebody did this and everybody who draws the character has to get this? Whatever.
Like at least Jessica Drew's are like these fold-out sunglasses that turn into kind of a mask.
Yeah.
Like,
which is cool and part of like the street to hero kind of style that it is.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Maybe Hawkeye just grabs whatever sunglasses are within arm's reach. It's like, here, sunglasses. Okay, I'm wearing a mask now.
That's believable. Yeah. That's believable. Like, at least Kate is consistently like wearing whatever style of sunglasses she's supposed to be wearing at that point.
Well, I mean, Kate doesn't really appear in enough issues for there to be, like, a huge style difference.
Yeah. No, but I was talking about more, like, when she appears in Young Avengers wearing sunglasses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, during Children's Crusade, she's still in her Volume 1 costume, and she's wearing sunglasses, but they're just perched on her head, and they're the same sunglasses, they're just on her head instead of on her eyes.
But there's also the fact that, again, like that's also, like, fewer artists have drawn Kate Bishop. Like, Children's Crusade was drawn by Jim Chung, who designed Kate Bishop, and then that Young Avengers Volume 2 was all drawn by Jamie McKelvey, Kieran Gillen? One of those two? One of them wrote the other one, Drew?
Kieran McKelvey.
Yeah, McKelvey. I'm going to say McKenzie, and that's wrong.
Well, Jamie McKelvey and Kieran Gillen, they're a team. I just don't know which one writes and which one draws. I want to say Kieran Gillen was the artist. But again,
I think Kieran Gillen was the... No, Kieran Gillen was the writer because McKelvey also redesigned Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So,
Ken and I just talked about this.
So Jamie McKelvey
then.
But it's outside of those two books and Hawkeye, where she is not often wearing the costume, there's not really a lot of different artists drawing Kate Bishop as Hawkeye.
Sure, and there's not really a lot of people drawing Barbara Morse either at this point.
Right, so you don't really need a style... I mean, you do need a style guide, but like the style guide is what keeps the sunglasses the same. It's just the fact that it's been just Jim Chung or just Jamie McKelvey or whoever drew Young Avengers Runaway Civil War or Secret Invasion or whichever book that was a tie-in for. Civil War, I think.
Children's Crusade?
No, not Children's Crusade. I'm talking about there was a Young Avengers Runaways book.
There was one for Civil War and one for Secret Invasion.
I think it was like an issue of Secret Invasion though. Whatever.
It's all very confusing.
Let's talk about trailers.
Trailer trailers.
No, it's trailers.
No, trailer trailers.
There's trailer trailers, and then there's also a trailer for a trailer for a trailer.
Was there?
No, it's a teaser for a teaser for a trailer.
I'm confused. So basically, Marvel is starting to tease their own trailers because that's a thing.
They've been doing it before.
Yeah, they've been doing it before. People have been doing it before anyway.
Well, remember the Super Bowl and they
right because
for Avengers, and they tease, oh, we're gonna have a Super Bowl trailer
because
and
people
then
advertise
the Super Bowl trailer,
and other companies advertise their Super Bowl trailers too, or Super Bowl commercials too, anyway. So it's not like that's an unheard of thing, but
it's still weird.
A few days ago, there was an ant-sized Ant-Man trailer. That was confusing.
I'm so mad about that.
Top YouTube comment: what is this, a trailer for ants? And then everyone's like, yes, that's the joke. Yeah. Ant-sized Ant-Man trailer.
And then, like, the day after it was posted human-sized, it was, like, what, 18 seconds of footage?
No, was it posted?
Yeah, they posted the full-size one.
No, that's
like, the same.
It was supposed to be posted on the 6th with Agent Carter.
No, no, no. Not the full-length trailer, the full-size trailer.
You're talking about full-size?
No, not the full-length teaser.
I'm so confused.
No. The one that's airing tomorrow with Agent Carter is a teaser.
Okay.
Right. So the way I understood it, the ant-sized Ant-Man trailer is everything that's going to be airing alongside Agent Carter.
Yes.
It's just going to be bigger.
Yes.
More? No. At least three times that size?
Well, it's about 100 pixels wide, so it's probably going to be at least 20 times that size, but yes. But, yeah, that's...
And Hank Pym's heart grew three sizes that day.
But, like, that's the way I understood it, was what we saw was exactly the same thing that we're going to see with Agent Carter, just ant-sized then and full-sized with Agent Carter.
Well,
it's only, like, an 18-second thing.
Whereas the other trailer-teaser?
I don't even know anymore.
Teaser-teaser?
Are Which they, one?
The Ultron.
The one. Ultron one.
That one's a teaser.
But no, it's going to be like the they're.
So the one that hit for Ultron is a teaser for the trailer, which is coming out January 12th. Correct.
Is it a teaser for the trailer, yes, or is it a teaser for a teaser?
It's a teaser for the trailer.
Is that going to be a trailer?
It is a teaser for a teaser.
Is the Ultron trailer going to be a trailer, or is it going to be a teaser?
Well, trailers are teasers.
But there's trailers and there's teaser trailers.
Well, it's going to be a trailer, which is a teaser for the movie.
Right, but how long is the trailer going to be?
How long are trailers usually? I don't actually know.
It just depends. Like, if it's like a minute and a half to 3 minutes, it's a trailer. But if it's like 30 seconds, that's a teaser.
Well, it's going to be, I think it's going to be like what they've been doing, like what they did for the Avengers, which was they had a short trailer and then they had a long trailer during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but isn't the Super Bowl in February?
Yes.
But this is coming out in January.
So it's going to be a trailer on January 12th, and they're going to have a long trailer during the Super Bowl in
February. Mm-hmm. So on January 12th, we're basically going to get a teaser and then a Super Bowl trailer.
No, it's going to be a trailer, and then we're going to get a better trailer.
But, like, how long is the Super Bowl one going to be?
Like a minute?
So more? That means is the one on January 12th going to be probably shorter than the one on the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Likely.
Then that's a teaser.
Is it?
Yes. Because if it's shorter than like a minute.
We're just arguing semantics.
It's probably a teaser. Yes.
We are just arguing semantics.
There's a trailer for a trailer. And it was just clips from the first Avengers movie saying, hey, there's a trailer coming out January 12th.
Yeah.
Nothing new. Watch our trailer.
Also, Age of Ultron and Ant-Man both hit this year, guys. That's a thing.
I'm excited for one of those.
Isn't there a third one movie coming out this year, too?
There is Fantastic Four.
Is there a third MCU movie coming out?
No. The third Marvel movie was Fantastic Four.
Okay.
That's still a thing, guys.
Got it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still excited for exactly one of those movies.
starring Michael Jordan as Johnny Storm. Anyway.
So that's it for the news. Let's move on to the topic. So recently, Sony and Marvel have been talking a bit about our favorite friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I was going to go with something else there, but I stuck with it. So yeah, Spider-Man. Sony and Marvel were talking about Spidey potentially coming up in Civil War, I guess, in a possible new Spider-Man trilogy. Marvel's only interested in a fresh start for Spider-Man, but you can understand why Tony would be upset about that. Naim, can you fill us in on some of the broader strokes?
Okay, so the big thing, we learned a lot from the Sony hacks, which I'm sure most of you have heard about, but if you haven't, Basically, Sony was hacked in December, I think, or maybe it was late November of 2014, which was reportedly perpetrated by a North Korean hacking group, but that may or may not be true. Anyway, the big things that most people might have heard of it from were the fact that Annie got leaked way early, and North Korea and the quote unquote a group that claimed to be the hacking group threatened to blow up a bunch of theaters if they aired the interview, which is why your mom or dad probably said, "Hey, let's watch the interview on Christmas because it's patriotic."
Yeah,
which is stupid.
Wrong.
But that's beside the point. That's what happened with the interview last month, which I'm sure you have probably heard of at least sideways at some point. So the big thing is that happened as a result of the hacks on Sony, who owns the film rights to Spider-Man, as again I'm sure most of you know, but again if you don't, that now you do. Sony owns the film rights to Spider-Man, and this hack also leaked a bunch of Sony emails, including talks between Sony and Marvel Studios about Spider-Man joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, these talks probably happened early in 2014, which led to, I know, a news article that Shannon had found before the show, in which the CEO of Sony Pictures, Amy Pascal, I'm not sure what her title exactly is.
She's the head of Sony, the movie.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, head of Sony Pictures, chairwoman. Yes, chairwoman of the motion Sony pictures group of Sony Pictures Entertainment, and co-chairperson of Sony Pictures Entertainment, and has been since 2003. She's been chairwoman and co-chairperson since 2006. And she said in May that it's never going to happen. Well, after these leaks happened, turned out that Sony, Japan Sony, had no idea this was happening. And talks had broken down because Sony wanted to retain creative control of Spider-Man. And Marvel did not want Sony to retain creative control of Spider-Man, because with creative control of Spider-Man, Sony made the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies and also Amazing Spider-Man 2. And also was going to make a Sinister Six movie, and also was maybe possibly going to make an Aunt May prequel movie. Sony was not doing great stuff with creative control of Spider-Man. So Marvel was like, all right, we will buy Spider-Man from you, but you don't retain creative control. Sony was like, we don't want that. Talks broke down. Well, Sony Japan got wind of this because of the Sony leaks, which is hilarious to me. And they were like, you are going to start talks again. So basically, all we know is that, and even that is, I'm not even sure, because I don't know, I don't actually remember
like,
where I heard that part.
This is vastly nebulous because of how nebulous the leaks are in general.
Yeah, very nebulous. Because, so, yeah, like, again, I don't remember even where I read that Sony Japan had talked to Sony America about doing this. I had also heard rumor that Sony might just sell off Sony Pictures for parts, which might lead to them also selling Spider-Man. But a big thing is that Spider-Man, you know, especially following Amazing Spider-Man 2, was the worst performing Spider-Man movie of the five. So it's the kind of thing where it's now going in a downward trajectory for Sony. Might be something that they don't want to hold on to if it's going to keep performing poorly for them, especially something that the parent company might be wanting the other company to sell. So that is, I guess, in a nutshell, what's kind of going on in behind the scenes of Spider-Man.
Sure.
Again,
That's the simple version.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on there as well. So, but yeah,
it's
that's a quagmire. It is a quagmire. But basically, there's a chance that Spider-Man could be sold back to Marvel. And there was for a while when Civil War was, because I think they just finished the script on it. Like it's just been like fully completed. But I believe months ago when the talks were first happening, they were they had a version of the script with Spider-Man in it, and that was going to be his introduction into the MCU. Now that the script is pretty much completed and it's still pretty nebulous, who knows? Rumor is he might be in the post-credits scene, because that's something they can do the day of the world premiere, if you remember.
Yeah.
Avengers. But yeah, so a lot of stuff can still happen between now and May 6, 2016. But the original plan was to have him premiere in Civil War. That may or may not happen now. We will see what happens with Spider-Man in the MCU. But what we do know is that there is probably talks right now going on between Sony and Marvel.
I don't want there to be a Sinister Six film, guys.
No.
Yes. Because that's
my
Venom movie was a planned thing.
That's my takeaway.
And Aunt May as a secret agent in the 60s was a planned thing, because, hey, guys, Agent Carter's a thing, so let's make Aunt May a past secret agent, because that's competing, maybe. And also, there's possibly going to be a Gwen Stacy movie, but, like, what? I'm very confused.
Gwen Stacy movie. Interesting.
That was the one of the possible pitches, but, like, the one that was least likely to happen. But, like, the one of the possible pitches that... Oh, I think there's, got like, a Black Cat plan movie, too, because they're like, we don't have enough female characters leading movies, which is true. So that was a nice idea. But it's like, there are also movies I don't want to see. Like, who really wants to see Aunt May in the 60s being a secret agent? Because that's not really anything that should exist.
Yeah.
I
mean, is that comics canon in any universe?
I think his mom, I think Spider-Man's mom was like a secret agent or something.
Yeah, his parents are secret agents.
So why make Aunt...
Wait, I thought his dad was a scientist.
Secret agent?
I think it was like a CIA scientist or something.
Oh, okay.
The other thing about that is I know Joe and I were talking about this before as well, is Marvel, Sony does not own the rights to Jessica Drew, the Spider-Woman, but they own the rights to the name Spider-Woman, because they own the rights to the name Spider-anything, because if Marvel comes out with a Spider-Woman, then it's like, well, you're cutting into our profits of Spider-Man. So that's also a very
strange,
sideways, awkward thing. So if Marvel does is able to acquire the Spider-Man rights, that also means Spider-Woman in the MCU possibility, as well as the Daily Bugle, as opposed to, what was it called, the New York Bulletin?
Yeah, something strange when they could just easily do a different newspaper in Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm. Frontline? Just call it Frontline?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the weird names deal is like Marvel and Fox, where Fox has mutants, but Marvel can share Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, but they can't be mutants.
Right, because they're... But also Marvel has Pietro Maximoff.
And Fox has
and
Peter Maximoff.
So Fox is
never explicitly
Peter?
Called Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Right. It's... Yeah, and also, like, I'm pretty sure Fox also would be able to use the Scarlet Witch if they wanted to. Because she's still...
Don't.
But they don't... Or they, maybe they do, and they just didn't have a chance.
They
to
had a throwaway line in Days of Future Past mentioning, hey, Peter, bring your sister. No, I don't want to bring her.
But
no, the older
it was
one.
Was it?
Yeah.
But that got cut.
Well, Quicksilver was like jammed in there when
Quicksilver was duct taped to the film
Marvel
because originally it was supposed to be Juggernaut.
Yeah, although it did lead to that really cool super speed
which
scene.
Which was great.
I like that
the Jim
a lot.
Chris song.
Right, but yeah, it is definitely sort of like shoved in the middle, and it's like, hey, he's here, okay, now he's gone, and we'll never see him again.
Until Apocalypse.
Until the next movie. Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just poorly executed.
Yeah.
Although Marvel and Fox's rivalry is one of my favorite things.
Because there's also rumors that now Marvel, like, that now Fox, like, might want to include the Fantastic Four in the X-Men universe and have them in one universe, because they have them both. And it's like, well, this is a thing that the other companies are doing. It's like, no,
what
but doesn't
stories
work. You don't
you,
have the characters.
What stories can you tell with just the X-Men and the Fantastic Four?
A lot,
yeah,
actually.
It's...
Bring the Phoenix Force. Let's do it.
That would actually be
there's
really
just only so much you can do with with a fleshed out X-Men universe and a Fantastic Four universe that's going to go away in a movie. That's going to exist for about 3 years. Yeah,
the Phoenix Force
it's
and
just,
Galactus at the same time.
Well, the Phoenix Force comes from space, so we'll just make it Reed Richards' fault.
And Galactus comes from space.
We'll just make that Reed Richards' fault.
And so now Reed Richards and the X-Men are trying to fight off two cataclysmic events from space. There. Movie done. Mm-hmm. Give me $50 million.
Also, by the way, in making it Reed Richards' fault, you just made Reed Richards smarter than he actually is. You just had Reed Richards create Galactus and the Phoenix Force.
Well,
no, it's his fault that
in comics canon he can stretch his brain to make himself.
It's his
smarter.
It's his fault that they noticed the Earth. It's not his fault that they exist.
Yeah.
Well, see, all he has to do is stretch his brain to the size of his ego, and he could do it.
So Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. I think it'd be really cool to have Spider-Man in Civil War. It would probably work best as that post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, now here's the aftermath. What's going to happen now? Oh, look, teen hero. Because I'm...
What was interesting was I think somebody posited the idea that they somehow don't reveal who the actor playing Spider-Man is until he unmasks himself in Civil War. I was like, that would be cool, but also...
How could you do that
impossible.
In this day and age?
Yeah, but also... It's 2015, and it will be 2016, and it was 2014 when he said this. But either way, it's 2014, will be 2015, it's going to be 2016 when the movie comes out. There's no way you can get away with that.
Just secretly hire an actor.
But what Marvel did say was that if they are to acquire these rights, they want a fresh start for Spider-Man, so that means no more Andrew Garfield.
They said they wanted a high school-age Spider-Man too, didn't they?
Yeah, but so did...
Like a real high school-age
No,
actor,
like a high school-age
like
character.
Or a 30-year-old actor.
Yeah, but so did so did Sony before Amazing Spider-Man. And they're like, well, we ended up getting 25-year-old Emma Stone and 27-year-old Andrew Garfield, so...
Congrats,
they're
high school seniors.
Seniors in high school, question mark? Yeah. Which, by the way, like, I was surprised when they made him high school. I was like, oh, I figured that once they cast mid-20s actors, they would just put them in college.
Yeah.
It's really not that big of a deal for him to be a teenager because at this point, because you're not really using it as a plot point in any way.
Nobody in movies has enough acne for me to ever believe they're teenagers.
I didn't have acne as a teenager.
You have it now.
I have more now, but it's still very light. and Emma Stone has acne in those commercials, right? Isn't she?
She's like
the
face
one
of,
the proactive
of Proactive
people?
Or something?
Is she?
I think she is.
Who knows?
I don't know. I see her face at Walmart all the time. Maybe she's cover girl? I don't know.
Anyway, I'm excited for Spider-Man potentially, maybe, possibly being in Civil War because Civil War is way better when Spider-Man's the focus.
Yeah.
When it's like Cap versus Iron Man, it's really stupid because they're both advocating for human killing machines to have zero responsibility for their
actions. Spider-Man is all about accountability, and then it's also about this person who wants to support his friends and doesn't exactly know where he himself lies on this big divisive issue.
And also he really, really, really doesn't want his aunt to die.
Yeah, that. He didn't want his aunt to die so bad, he literally just gave up his wife.
Thanks, Joe Quesada.
Yes. So, Spider-Man makes the issue more interesting, and
the problem
honestly,
is that
I side more with Spider-Man than Iron Man or Captain America because they're both wrong. Yeah.
The problem is that he, you know, there's no way he can be a focal point in Civil War because the script is
done.
Like it's locked in. They're gonna start shooting soon. So
which I mean. Winter Soldier was good, so I have high hopes for Civil War, also featuring Hawkeye and his farm.
Yeah.
In Iowa?
No, Hawkeye's from
Iowa.
Yeah.
Sorry, what'd you say?
Hawkeye's from Iowa.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I said. What?
You said the farm was in Iowa.
Yeah.
Who says it's not?
I'm really interested to see how and why he has a farm and what he grows on it.
Arrows. I guess it would make sense for Black Panther to be sort of that character, filling sort of the Spider-Man role since they didn't have Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And he fills a more neutral role as a character looking from the outside. Although, again, we don't know what this Civil War specifically is about. Is it about the Registration Act? Who knows?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Considering Age of Ultron isn't really about Ant-Man creating Ultron and fucking up so bad.
But there could be registration in the background of both Age of Ultron and like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then Daredevil.
Sure, like Age of Ultron and Jessica Drew. To start that sort of tension in the universe.
And an Ant-Man. Like, between Age of Ultron, you have Ant-Man, you have all of Daredevil, you have all of Jessica Drew, and you have a full season of, a season and a half or something like that of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that all could tie into, hey, registration is a thing.
Yeah, finally they have enough heroes to do it.
Right, yeah.
Because with just Avengers, it really was not looking good.
And there could be a point in one of these movies where it's like, oh, here's all these other heroes who we haven't, like, you know, they're doing stuff, they're off doing stuff, and we haven't actually seen them yet in the MCU.
Look, kids,
but it's like,
here's
Fran
Kranz's Speedball.
Yeah.
In Ultron, they're talking about here's like the street level Daredevil guy who they don't actually show, but it's like, oh, there's a thing that's happening.
There's this guy who's out there doing things. We're not the only superhero. Yeah, we're just the ones with the big tower with an A on it.
And
feel like fighting aliens that day.
Here was this superhero that was gonna do this thing, and then somebody died, and that's Jessica Jones. And here was, you know, here's these heroes for hire guys, and that's whatever.
And I mean,
so, like,
Jessica Jones deals with cases regarding people with extraordinary abilities anyway.
Right.
She's really gonna tie into S.H.I.E.L.D., I think.
But there's also the fact that like, you know, we know the plot is that something tragic happened in her superhero past. We haven't even seen her superhero past, and the superhero past in this universe is not very long. So it's very possible it's like she had a very short superhero past that, you know, is mentioned like, oh yes, you know, here are some of the downsides of superheroing. This person died because of, maybe Jessica Jones becomes the impetus of the Registration Act as opposed to Speedball and that whole thing, because like somebody, you
that
know, people died as a direct result of Jessica Jones, and then she stopped doing that. She goes becoming a private detective, but you know, meanwhile Tony Stark goes and he becomes best friends with Congress now for some reason, and is like, whatever.
See,
that's,
I have problems with it because Cinematic Universe Tony Stark isn't nearly as much of a dickwad as comics.
Agreed.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, I mean, there's the
Captain America in the movies is a lot less pro-military industrial complex than comics Cap.
Yeah, but
And without the mutants, why would anybody be purely against registration? Like, Magneto is a Holocaust survivor, and he's literally like, hey, don't register people with the government because of genetic differences. That's really not okay for a lot of reasons. That makes sense. Yeah. Spider-Man's like, hey, I have a secret identity. That's really important. But, like, without Spider-Man and the X-Men, why would we even have a civil war?
Well, there's a whole...
People are literally only against it because, hey, I don't want the government telling me what I can and can't do.
Again, there's a whole year and a half, two shows... Like two full seasons of, like three full seasons of shows and two movies to take us from here to there. So there could be a lot that happens in the meantime that makes it make more sense. But like, you know, there's T'Challa who lives in post-apartheid Africa. We don't know how close Wakanda is to South Africa and Darfur and all that stuff. Like, that which
well,
are far far away from each other.
He doesn't even have a secret identity. Everybody's like, oh yeah,
the
King of Wakanda.
King of Wakanda. That is the
but there's you know, like as first of all that, and as a political leader of a United Nation, you know, there's a whole different aspect with that character. So there's a lot of stuff we don't know yet about what maybe Hank Pym is a character because he is an older character now who used
this system of superpowers in the past. He's like, okay, here's my experiences, and then it's like, okay, we're going to go regulate this now.
Maybe Captain America, one of the Howling Commandos, who was, wasn't one of the Howling Commandos Japanese?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe he returns, and he's like, you know, my people were interned in World War II, and it's a,
yeah,
it's
he's
a
from
similar.
Fresno too, so he, his family would be right.
Oh, Fresno.
His family
right.
would be caught right into that.
Right. Right. And he is now, instead of being played by the young guy he was played by in Captain America, he's played by George Takei. Makes perfect sense.
That happened in the San Diego stage play.
Who was actually interned.
They could pull an Age of Ultron and say, hey, here's a comic title. Here's a completely unrelated
that's
movie.
That's what I'm thinking it is. It's just
yeah, no, it's
so
it's,
charged as a title.
Right, that's
context.
The thing, is like, is, and that was my first thought. As soon as Civil War was announced, and when we talked about it on, like, episode, what, two of
Realview Daily.
Realview Daily. I was like, it's probably not going to be the Civil War from the comic books. It's very, very unlikely. But I think I'm coming more around to the idea that it might be now, because
there's
now
a lot
so
of
much
storytelling we can do up to that point to bring us to tell that story.
For it to be something closer to at least that story, where registration now is something that makes sense, because now there was the Battle of New York in mm-hmm. Avengers, and then there's going to be something. There was Thor, which destroyed a lot of stuff. There's the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. fell because people are scared of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The dimensional anomalies.
The superhero literally took down S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, there's going to be another huge battle in Age of Ultron, which is going to break stuff, and that's going to be a direct cause of Tony Stark. So there's going
to
be a lot more
superpowers.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. honestly, it's the kind of thing that honestly, Civil War was the kind of thing that could have happened. You know, superhero registration, the kind of thing that could have happened in the 70s in comics with how much destruction is caused by superheroes. It's the kind mm-hmm. of thing that in the, you know, 6-7 years of the Marvel Universe real time, which is pretty much how it works in movies now. It's the kind of thing that if this much damage had happened, you know, the amount of damage happened in Iron Man breaking Malibu, Hulk destroying Brooklyn, you know, the amount of damage that's happened to the
Harlem. Yeah.
Sorry. I knew that. The amount of damage that's already happened in that time, in the short 7 years, it's hard to imagine Congress not trying to implement something like this at this point in time. Just the fact that, like, it all this has happened so quickly. Honestly, it probably happened in this time frame in the Marvel comics anyway, 7 or 8 years, that from Cap being thought out to Civil War is probably something like 8 years comics time. Mm-hmm. But it's the kind of thing that, like, yes, at this point in time, like the people and the governments would start to be like, all right, like, you guys need to be held accountable for your actions, and it's stuff that can be set up in the next two movies and three seasons of Shuri that are happening.
And then, hey, Red Skull will pop back up and want to steal Cap's body, so Cap will get shot as he's being arrested and die, and then Sebastian Stan has 9
Yeah, Sebastian Stan has
Marvel.
A longer contract than...
So he's going to take up the Cap mantle, and then he's going to stop being Cap, and then we're going to get Anthony Mackie's Cap.
Well, not
like 10 years.
Not only does Sebastian Stan have a longer contract than Chris Evans, also he has a 9-picture deal of which he's used 2, and Chris Evans has a 6-picture deal of which he's used 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or
three. So Chris
three
Evans
plus,
is gonna die in Civil War.
3 plus Ultron.
And that's going to break the shield, and then the shield's broken in Age of Ultron.
I don't know if it's gonna if it's gonna be in Civil War.
Does that mean he's going to get the cool holographic shield?
Oh, that'd be hella.
Civil War will be his. Civil
really
War will
it.
Be his fifth.
I love that thing.
It might be in
Pepper, throw your shoes at me.
Cap. Might be in Cap 3. Or. No, not Cap 3. Maybe Infinity War 1.
What?
Cap dying. Is Cap 3 a Civil War? He's been in mm-hmm. 4 so far. Civil War will be 5. He's got 6 pictures.
Age of Ultron.
He's been First Avenger, Avengers, Winter Soldier, Ultron,
and Cap.
Yeah,
3.
That'll be 5.
Yeah, and because Thor 2 doesn't count.
Maybe he'll die in Infinity War Part 1.
Thor 2 didn't count, so
yeah, maybe he'll
oh,
die. In,
yeah.
He'll probably
oh,
die in Infinity
sense.
War Part 1,
and then we get Bucky Cap.
Yeah, no, that makes more sense.
Although, also and Robert Downey Jr. might die in Infinity War Part 1 or Part 2.
I think they both die.
Also, Infinity War
everybody dies.
Infinity War counts as one movie. as far as the contract goes.
Really?
I think.
That's
Because I think it's because they're going to be filmed like as like back to back.
Even though we've got movies happening in the middle.
It may or may not count as one movie. I am not. That's not certain. There's only so much I can find out about this crap.
Also, Infinity War.
Call Kevin Feige.
Yes.
Just get him in.
Also,
on
this. Infinity
just,
War.
Hold on. Let me add Kevin
Feige
on Skype.
Random storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it makes sense as a name of this movie,
right.
Especially
but the same
because
thing,
it's going to be
the same thing is going on with Age of Ultron. So why wouldn't it be going on with Captain America 2 Civil War? Or three.
Yeah,
Civil War.
No, it's true. That's true.
Winter Soldier. I mean,
but then also the next Thor movie is going to be Thor Ragnarok. So like, Civil
Thor
War followed by Ragnarok is going to be it's an interest like that's also very charged.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Thor 3, the world's going to end, and all of these movie plans have just been a clever ruse.
Yes, definitely. Let's stop printing money, guys.
Yeah.
That's a great business plan. Although, to be fair, if you're going to tell me any movies are a ruse, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Inhumans, that makes sense. Like, I want to see those movies, but that would make sense to be movies that they're lying about.
Yeah.
Although, they've already cast Chadwick Boseman, so. At the very least,
clever
they would
ruse.
Have moved. Clever ruse.
With Michelle Rosenberg in charge, I can't imagine them not at least trying to get a Carol Danvers in, aka Jessica Jones.
Yeah. It's going to be Gwendolyn Christie.
We didn't really talk about Spider-Man very much.
Yeah.
I guess let's close the Spider-Man talk, right? Let's finish that real quick. Because
we were talking about Spider-Man.
That was the topic that we were started with.
Well, I would like Spider-Man to be in Marvel movies, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Because the last thing that Marvel did say was there wouldn't
be Phase 3.
The last thing Marvel said was there wouldn't be an origin story.
Yeah,
it would just be good. Like because they've already had two in the last decade. 10 years.
Do we really need another third Spider-Man 1 in the course of a decade?
Right.
Spider-Man 1, like a third. Okay, here's a third universe where Spider-Man's happening, and here's his origin story explicitly.
So two things. First, I don't know if it would be in time. I mean, I don't know. It would. I think because Phase 3 is. I mean, it ends a long time from now. It's a full four and a half years.
Release dates are going to change from what was announced at the big press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and like. For example, Captain Marvel still doesn't have a writer, let alone
anything.
Let alone a script.
Anything.
Inhumans, you know, has a screenwriter. Black Panther has a screenwriter, and these are all movies coming out in 3 to 4 years. So, like, it's very possible that first of all, Inhumans would be completely scrapped. It's very possible Inhumans is literally only in the list because it's a placeholder for Spider-Man. As like, we can't say we're gonna do Spider-Man, but
guys,
if we get this deal
Spider-Man's
done in the next
Inhuman.
Couple of years.
That would actually be cool. I'd be okay with that origin story.
That would be weird. What if the Maximoffs are Inhumans, though? That would make
a
lot of sense.
Except I thought they were Hydra experiments.
I thought they were Hydra experiments.
That doesn't preclude them from being Inhumans.
True.
Yeah, because right,
it could be the Hydra's experiment with the Terrigen Mists. Black Bolt, so,
as long as I can hear Blackagar
Boltagon
in film say that name, I'm fine with whatever.
The best name. In comics?
All I want is for everybody in the world to know that somebody sat down, thought about it, put their pen to paper, and wrote that as a real person's real name.
I believe that
even
would be...
they're from space.
I believe it would be Brian Michael Bendis. I think Brian Michael Bendis named Black Bolt.
Bendis!
Spider-Man. Because the idea would be that he's been a... Like, he is already a hero. Because that's the other thing, is like, we... don't see this whole... Because, like, obviously Jessica Jones has been a thing. Obviously there have been heroes between Captain America and Iron Man that we just haven't nobody's talked about. Yeah.
I mean, we've missed, like, Vietnam Cap.
Yeah.
The other Cap.
Well, there's no guarantee those guys happen, but, like, there's the fact that Hank Pym Ant-Man was a thing, in the past, and he's not going to be Ant-Man in this movie. It's going to be Scott Lang, but he was a thing in the past. And there were, you know, the Howling Commandos, and we're now just going to be seeing
population of Inhumans.
that exists.
Yeah. You know what would be cool?
And yeah, and Black Panther exists.
We get Hank Pym and Agent Carter, and then he's like super old and crusty and also dead now.
But no, because he's Michael Douglas. But it would make sense if it was, like, I guess, when Agent Carter happens in the 60s?
Agent Carter is late 40s.
Late 40s? Late 40s makes more sense.
Yeah, 50s.
Sorry, that's my fault. I apologize. Yeah, so it would not make sense for Hank Pym to appear, but it would be cool if it would make sense for Hank Pym to appear.
Well, I mean, they could just make him super old in present day.
And I mean, he's already Michael Douglas in the present day.
But he's Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas is...
But he could be past Michael Douglas.
No, but he's Michael Douglas talking directly to Paul Rudd.
No.
He is. That's confirmed.
Maybe.
But it could be like he, you know, he's a scientist, maybe he's slowed his aging.
He was frozen.
He just wanted to build a snowman. it's a Disney movie.
I watched the teaser once. I don't actually care that much about Ant-Man because I don't like him.
I like Scott Lang Ant-Man.
Although
in anything. Scott Lang's okay, but I just... Ant-Man slash Giant-Man is just not a concept that I enjoy.
Apparently Haley Atwell is rumored to be an Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's a thing.
So...
And John frozen, Slattery is...
And then unfrozen.
John Slattery is Howard Stark there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And Hayley Atwell did play Peggy, like old Peggy in so it could be like they show flashbacks to the 70s, 60s,
cuz you've got
I don't know
we have John Slattery as Howard Stark. Wasn't that 60s?
No, I don't think so, because 60s isn't that far removed from Dominic Cooper. I feel like it would be the 70s, and they just age up Hayley Atwell to be, like, in her 50s, have, like, a younger... So they have all these characters interacting. I don't know. That's all pure, unadulterated speculation.
See, what I would have done is I just would have kept casting different people for Howard Stark in every single appearance.
Yeah.
Like with Kitty Pryde.
Until that stopped, too.
Until that stopped, yes, briefly. It's okay. She'll be put with somebody else in Apocalypse because she won't be in it at all. Except, no, maybe she'll be a baby.
Maybe Kitty Pryde in Apocalypse.
It takes place in the 80s, right? So
she, like, falls through a window.
Anyway. I think that's it, right,
Joe?
Yeah,
that's it. Do we have social media yet?
We don't, but I think we had the places, right? I don't remember.
Yeah, so you can tweet us.
Follow us individually, and we will tell you where to go, I think is the best way to do it, just to be safe.
I'm on the Twitter, at Professor Ware, because Professor What was taken, but on Tumblr, I'm ProfessorWhat.tumblr.com. God damn you. Kuon is Kuon everywhere, except Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, where I am. I am kuhan.tumblr.com. Or go to kuhan.me. Or go to www.iamkuhan.com to find the links to...
All the stuff.
All my stuff, including this show, probably.
Maybe someday. I'm Shay Razor on Tumblr, where I don't blog about anything but Captain America. And I'm also Shay Razor on Flight Rising, so friend me on there.
I am also Professor Wood on Flight Rising, if you want Storm Dragons.
I'm also Kuon on Flat Rising if you want to give him food.
If you want to give him food.
No, that's what we were talking about before, so that's important.
And that's it for this first edition of Cinemarvelous, a Spider-Verse tie-in. Catch you next time on the show. Yeah.
Catch you on the flippity flip. Stay green.
Come on, Nine, play us out.
Excelsior, true believers. I'm Stanley. You've been listening to Cinemarvelous.